Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Storytime. I'm not only your guide, but I'm your curator as well. And I've curated quite a collection for you here this evening. An episode full of tales that all stem from one particular place. The 45th state, the 30th most populated, one quarter of the infamous Four Corner States, home to several national parks, and one of the largest inland bodies of water in the U.S. I'm talking about the state of Utah. And tonight's show is jam-packed with calls from that very location. So, let's get it all started, beginning with the wild entry from Kay.
Hi, Derek. My name is Kay. I live in Utah, and this story takes place, I want to say, when I was around 3, maybe 4 years old. And during the time, my parents both worked. So during school time, well, if I was around 3 or 4, I probably wasn't in school. My sister was, and my grandma would take care of us while my parents worked. During this time, I remember very distinctly my grandma had like an old computer desk in her office. So just to make a layout of where my grandma lived, she lived in like a little duplex. And this duplex was, you know, just one floor. It maybe had 2, maybe 3 bedrooms. And one of the bedrooms was used for her office. And in this office, she had one of these really old computers from the early 2000s that was, you know, pretty high end at the time. And I was really fascinated by it. I wanted to, you know, learn how to use it, but I was really young, so I wasn't allowed to use it. So while my grandma and older sister were out of the room, I remember having this inclination of wanting to get on top of the computer desk. You know how kids are at this age, you know, just want to explore. The world is your jungle gym, you know? And I remember climbing up on the chair and getting up on top of the desk. And I was stood up, just kind of like trying to figure out how this computer worked. And all of a sudden, I fell off the desk. And as I was falling, I remember very distinctly that I was like basically falling in slow motion. And I'm not sure what to attribute that to. Maybe it was just like a trick of the brain. Maybe, you know, this was a very long time ago. I'm 23 now, so this was almost 20 years ago now. But I do remember that I was falling in slow motion, and I was like reaching for the air, like trying to grab onto something. And it maybe took me around 5 to 7 seconds to actually finally hit the ground. And I'm not sure how tall the desk was, maybe like 3 feet off the ground. So that was a good 5-foot drop for me if I was standing straight up, and I fell on my back, like I said, because I was reaching for the air. So when I hit the ground, finally, I didn't feel any pain. You know, I didn't feel anything. It felt like I was like light as a feather, just slowly falling to the ground. And my sister or grandma didn't come running in to like see what happened, because I didn't make like any thud or anything like that. And like I said, the floor plan was like, there was no basement, no upstairs. It was just all one level. So there's no way they could not have heard me if I did make a thud, you know? So to this day, I can't explain it, but I like to think maybe this was like a guardian angel. And, you know, it kind of gives me hope that I wasn't supposed to be hurt that day and that I have more to give to this world. And yeah, thanks for your time. Bye.
Thanks, Kay. That's not the first time we've heard a detail like that. Just last season, on season 19, episode 4, I shared a story from Catherine, who also attributed an angel for saving a woman from a disastrous fall. And I'm sure these two aren't the only examples of this phenomenon that are out there. Thought-provoking stuff, Kay. And we thank you again for getting us started. And to keep us going here tonight, please welcome Blair to the show.
Hi, my name is Blair. I'm from Utah. And I had a scary story I want to tell. It happened to me. It was probably between the ages of 9 and 12, probably like 3 in the morning. As I was sleeping, I woke up from a dream, I guess. I don't remember what the dream was. But as I woke up, I noticed that there weren't any sheets or blankets on me. And as I rolled over, I saw my sheets. They were floating up like a foot and a half, 2 feet in the air. And they really freaked me out. But it was just like for a split second. And then it fell back down on me. I didn't see ghosts or ghouls or anything at all. But it just really freaked me out. I never told anyone about it. That's all I got. I love the podcast. Get spooky. Bye.
Thank you, Blair. Now, if stories like this are what Utah has in store for us, it's going to be one hell of a night. And we'll get to those additional entries right after these brief messages.
God, that is one thing we must not say. I don't accept it.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Membership is free, so sign up today.
Now let's welcome Eric as tonight's next contributor.
Hi, Derek. This is Eric. I am in Utah. I am 32 years old. So I'm recently divorced. I just was moving out of my place, and due to financial reasons, I had to move back into my mom's basement. On the day that I'm set to move in, my mom and her fiance are actually out camping, so I'm moving in to the house by myself. There's no one else here. I spent the whole day moving in, you know, did my whole thing. I go to bed, pass out, exhausted, spent the whole day moving. Now, it's the middle of the night. I'm dead asleep, and I'm in the basement. My mom has hardwood floors upstairs, and she has a couple little dogs. So I'm dead asleep, and all of a sudden I hear like the sound of dogs running around upstairs. You know what I mean? You can hear like the click clatter of like them running around upstairs, and I don't have any idea what time it is. And I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, like maybe she came home early from camping, because I know it's still dark outside. So I'm laying there and I'm trying to fall back to sleep. Next thing I know, my bedroom light turns on and like wakes me up. Now, you know, when you're dead asleep and pitch black and somebody turns the light on, you don't immediately like open your eyes. The light kind of hurts your eyes, so you're kind of squinting. So I kind of like halfway open my eyes, like squinting, like looking around. And there is an old lady standing in my doorway, pointing at me. And at first, like I said, I just barely like opened my eyes for like a split second, and then I like closed them again because the light hurt my eyes. But for the split second that I had my eyes open, in my head, I was thinking like maybe my mom came home early from her camping trip. I closed my eyes and I tried to open them again, and I'm kind of squinting. And there's an old lady, yeah, she's sitting there pointing at me. And then next thing I know, she turns the light off and exits my room and closes the door behind her. Like I said, I just barely woken up. So I'm laying there for a minute. Now I'm awake. And I reach over and I grab my phone and I look. And it's like 3 something o'clock in the morning. So then it hits me and I realize like, okay, like if my mom just got home from a camping trip at 3 o'clock in the morning, like something is wrong. You know, who comes home from a trip, you know, that early in the morning? So I get up and I go upstairs in the end of the front room and stuff. I'm looking around. The entire house is pitch black. Nobody's here. Everything is locked up. So naturally, I'm like, what the heck just happened? I search the entire house top to bottom. I even open up the front door. I go outside, look in the driveway. There's no cars here. There's no nothing. So I come back downstairs and I'm sitting there really thinking to myself, what just happened? A longtime listener, love the show.
Thank you, Eric. An old lady standing in your doorway, pointing right at you. Gnarly stuff, Eric. And how rude of the entity to flip the light on like that. I accidentally do that to our cats from time to time. I suppose to them, I am the old lady in this scenario. Now, as unhinged as that experience might be, Eric, you have to at least be a little grateful that she turned the lights back off afterward. And that ruckus that Eric heard, that he thought was his mother and stepfather, could that have been that same old lady? Like I said, gnarly stuff, Eric, and we love every second of it. Thank you again for ringing in. Now, folks, if you too have a story you would like to share, give our hotline a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or shoot us a voice memo to monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Operators are standing by. Now, up next, we stay in the state of Utah. Of course. Please welcome G to the program.
Hi, my name is G. I just found your podcast, and I'm, you know, listening through the back catalog, and I'm on season 11, episode 19, and the story from the firefighter about the dreams he had and this attachment. My God, if this guy is not describing this thing that I have dealt with my entire life. Okay, so here's where it starts. When I was about 11 or 12, this thing started happening where I would fall asleep and I would have this dream, and it was the same dream every single time. Everything was white. Everything. I was in this white nothingness. Essentially, I was in this white space, and this dread would sink in. The dread is this thing. It is visceral. It is all-encompassing, and it would wash over me in this dream. And then basically, I would watch everyone I love taking turns die, essentially. And I would wake up in this insane panic. I don't know if it was a night terror, but like I could get up and walk around and see, and I have memories of this, but the level of dread and fear and panic I would feel, it's like my body was awake and I could move, but my brain couldn't feel anything but this like insane fear, and I would run around screaming, and my parents finally figured out if they poured something cold on my head, I would come out of it. So this went on for about a year or two, right? You know, then it went away, but then that changed into something else, and the dread remained. You know, I would be, you know, going about my life, and I would get this feeling of sinking downwards almost out of myself, and accompanying that was this dread. My God, it's so hard to explain. Dread is the only word I have for it. Then came the nightmares. So I'm 34 now, and ever since I was a teenager, I started getting these nightmares, and they were, God, so horrifying, violent, things that I can't even tell people. And they started coming every single night, all night long, for years. 3 months on, 3 months off, 3 months on, 3 months off. And that's continuing to this day. However, a couple years ago, I started exploring my own spiritual path. And the person who was mentoring me, he, among several other people in my life at different times, had said something akin to, well, we think you have an attachment, you have an attachment. So I went through this incredibly intense month-long, basically like cord-cutting ritual, and it stopped for a while, you know. I've been through a lot of things since then, and I'm always afraid that it's going to come back. The nightmares, like I said, are still there, but they're not the same kind that they once were. But I just had to call in after hearing that, because, man, hearing somebody else describe so closely this thing that I have gone through my whole life and hardly told anyone about, it was just insane, and I had to call. Anyway, thank you. Bye.
We appreciate your time, G. That sounds pretty intense. And it sort of sounds like sleep paralysis could be involved. But it also sounds like something supernatural might be at play here as well. And for this story to be so similar to Justin's call from Season 11, Episode 19, it's a wild coincidence, at the very least. Incredible stuff, G. Thanks again for calling in.
Are built the same way. This is why I have life insurance.
Search engines were filled with...
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stupid blanket statement.
Now, next up is a call from Macy. Now, there is a brief mention of suicide in this one, so proceed with caution.
Hey, this is Macy. This story took place about 3 years ago in Salt Lake City, Utah. I had gone through a pretty painful breakup from a guy that I really loved. I had found out he had cheated with this girl, and just like a lot of women are, I was vengeful. So I looked up the girl's boyfriend whom she was cheating on for my boyfriend, and I connected with him, and I found out that he was actually friends with my cousins since childhood. So we became really good friends, and he decided to move in with me just as a roommate, as a friend. While we lived in this apartment, we had these really strange experiences. This one day, I just was walking towards the front door. I think I was leaving. And to my right, on this blank wall, there was no mirrors or windows. I saw a shadow man, a full apparition shadow man, walk directly next to me on this wall. It didn't spook me or give me like an evil feeling. It just kind of took me by surprise, and I tried to analyze it. I think my brain didn't fully process what it was, so I didn't mention it to my roommate. we'll call him Ken. And he came home, and later that night, he was like a DJ. He's really good at like making up his own songs and doing raps. And we used to play on this machine he had where he would spin, and we would just spit raps. Well, later on that night, we were just dinking around, having fun and just making up raps. We hadn't been drinking. We didn't smoke marijuana or anything. We were sober friends. All of a sudden, he said, there is a shadow behind you on the wall. And that's when I got spooked. It just hit me that what I had seen earlier that day was indeed something. So I laughed at him. I tried to play cool and I laughed at him. And then about 5 minutes later, I saw another one on the wall behind him. So we turned off the music and we got scared and went to bed. Well, about a month later, he decided to move out and I lived alone there. And the longer that I stayed there, the more of an evil, evil presence I could feel in this apartment. I couldn't figure out why. And I would lock my doors. This one night, I heard three knocks really loudly in the dead of night at my front door. And I thought it might have been him or maybe the ex-boyfriend. And I ran to the front door and looked through the peephole and no one was there. So I got the nerve to open the door and I kind of stepped out and looked around. And there was just nobody. At that point, I got really scared to stay there alone. And I researched different places that I could move into. And I ended up moving out shortly thereafter. During the transition of my move, I left some furniture and some stuff in there for a few weeks while I was transitioning. And one day I went back. The door had been, it looked like someone had tried to break in. Like it looked like someone had taken a crowbar and just bent all the metal around the door. The very last thing I took out of that place was a trash bag, and I put it outside my front door, and it was leaking, and I took it to the garbage, and when I came back, outside my front door, the leak had formed into like the form of an angel, and I took a picture and I saved it. Just the whole experience was very bizarre. The most bizarre part of the experience is I had reconnected on Instagram with this friend, Ken, just to ask him kind of how he was doing. And he mentioned to me that he didn't think it was the ex-boyfriend that came and tried to break in because he said that particular apartment complex was the only complex in Salt Lake where my ex-boyfriend would never, ever step foot. And that is because they had a mutual friend who committed suicide there. I always wondered if this apartment was where their mutual friend had actually committed suicide and that we were being haunted by this friend. I've looked up shadow people. I can't comprehend what they are, what they're made of. I've had my own near-death experience, and I know there's some sort of existence outside of our realm. Anyway, I'm a huge fan of the show, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Macy. Now, I get why you would want to leave. That sounds like a wild apartment. And if you are curious enough about the history of that apartment, you can always visit diedinhouse.com and do a report. I believe you will get your answers then. And on the topic of haunted apartments in the state of Utah, please welcome Zach to the program.
Out of there, this is Zach from Utah. So my girlfriend and I live in this apartment. We've been in there for not too long now, just a couple months. And there have been a couple of weird things that have gone on. The first one, it was in the winter. And my girlfriend woke me up because she was laying in her bed and she heard, like, coughing. She said it was like an old man coughing. It sounded like it was coming from in her room. It wasn't like coming from outside or one of the neighbors. It sounded like it was in the room. It's a small apartment. It's not like somebody was hiding in there. We just chalked it up to maybe a nightmare. I don't know. And there's another instance. I was alone at the apartment. I was working in my office. I had the office door open. It was probably 9 or 10 o'clock at night, doing some late night work. My girlfriend was out running some errands. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw something small and black peek around the corner of my door and run away as I went to look at it. I thought, oh, she's home because she has a small brown chihuahua that she takes with her when she goes on errands or whatever. So I thought, oh, she's home, and that was the chihuahua, right? I was like, hey, babe. Nothing. I stand up, go out there. Nobody. Nothing. And I saw something looking at me from that door frame. I have no idea what it was. This is all taking place over the course of like from December to like early February. I woke up one morning and I heard the sound of somebody doing the dishes in the kitchen. Normally I do the dishes, but the night before it would have been late. I hadn't done it. So I was like, oh, my girlfriend's doing the dishes. That's nice of her. Because we have relatively thin walls. I could hear the sound of plates clinking, the cupboards opening and closing. I thought, oh, that's so nice of her. I'll go thank her. I got up, walked out there, nothing. One of the cupboards was open, but all the dishes had not been done, and my girlfriend was still sleeping. So we were looking to possibly not stay here. We're not super comfortable. I'm more of a skeptic than she is, but she told me a couple times how she's felt like something was watching her, just felt uncomfortable. I don't know how to feel, but I definitely saw and heard something. Maybe I'm crazy. I like the show, and yeah, thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Zach. No apartments aren't the only structures that are said to be haunted in the Beehive State. The following list of haunts is courtesy of KSL.com. You have Rock Canyon Trail outside of Provo. By day, it's a peaceful family hike. But by night, hikers report phantom footsteps, ghostly figures, eerie lights, whispers, and apparitions, including a 1970s-clad man and a singing young girl linked to decades of mysterious disappearances. Then there's Peekaboo Slot Canyon and Spooky Gulch. Now, Peekaboo and Spooky Gulch and Grand Staircase Escalante are narrow slot canyons requiring sideways passage and scrambling along a 3.5-mile loop. Known for its disembodied, wind-echoed laughter, their silent, twisting walls feel beautiful by day, yet haunting after dark. Then you have Dead Horse Point in Moab. Dead Horse Point overlooks the Colorado River, abandoned by cowboys whose spirit roam the rim. Visitors report phantom hoofbeats and equine-esque silhouettes. And finally, there's the Bigelow Hotel in Ogden. Used as a boarding house, the Bigelow Hotel, also known as the Reed Hotel and the Ben Lomond Hotel, was notorious for its underground tunnels built for smuggling alcohol and other illicit contraband. The hotel's guests were a revolving door of outlaws, gamblers, and sex workers who brought their own type of trouble. Paranormal reports include the faucet turning on in the tub where a woman drowned, the smell of cigar smoke, disembodied whispers, and elevator doors that open at odd hours. Now for the complete list, be sure to visit our show notes. And if you find yourself in the Mormon state, perhaps you'll want to check out a few of these unearthly locales. Thanks again to both Macy and Zach for sharing.
With precision and with a dedication to lasting quality.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
We didn't find any frogs.
Now time for our next entry. Peggy, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I'm calling from Utah. My story takes place back in the 80s. I was a dispatcher for the Utah Highway Patrol, and as part of the area that we patrolled was Provo Canyon. And Provo Canyon had a winding road that was up against the Provo River. Part of our training involved us going on what's called ride-along with the troopers, so we get a feel for what it's like on the other side of the radio from where we're dispatching. And one night I was on a ride along with an older gentleman who'd been with the patrol for over 20 years. And he was kind of grizzled and kind of scary to us new dispatchers, but I'm on a ride along with him. And as we're going along, I asked him, I said, well, you've been with patrol long enough now. Do you have any weird or unusual stories about patrolling? And he hesitated for about a long 15, 20 seconds. And then he said, I'm going to tell you this story, and I don't know if you're going to believe me or not, but this is what happened. He was patrolling one night, and it was raining. They got a call that there was an accident in Provo Canyon, and there was a notorious curve in this canyon that is hard to see at night, especially when it's raining. And on this curve had been many accidents. So it's your typical dead man's curve. And it was a straight, rocky embankment down into the river on this curve. There's not a lot of shoulder. So apparently, and this was back before cell phones, so if there was an accident in Pearl Canyon, people had to drive out of the canyon to the nearest payphone to call for help. And that's what had happened. The car had gone into the river and it flipped upside down right there on Dead Man's Curve. And this particular trooper was the first one to be sent up to it. And he got there first. And there was a couple of cars parked along the side of the road with people out there in the rain. And there were bodies or people laying on the side of the road. And as he started to examine them, they were alive and a couple of them were unconscious. And as the ambulance and other personnel started to arrive, they started to ask these kids, they were teenagers, what had happened as they're sitting in patrol cars waiting for ambulances. And the first one was sitting with this particular trooper in their car trying to get warm and said, what happened? And he said, I don't know. We were driving and then the next thing I know, we went off the road. And he said, and then how did you get up on the embankment? And he said, I don't know. And he says, what do you mean you don't know? And he said, I remember that I died. And then the next thing I know, I was on the embankment and you were there. And he says, what do you mean you died? And he said, I was in the water and I couldn't breathe and I died. Now, the next teenager that they spoke to didn't say they died, said that they went unconscious, but they don't know how they got up on the side of the road. The third teenager also said, I died. I was choking on water and I drowned. And the next thing I know, I was up on the side of the road and you guys were there helping me. And the fourth teenager they had to talk to in the hospital because they were unconscious and didn't regain consciousness at the scene. But when the trooper went in to speak to them later to follow up on his reporting, the teenager also said, I don't know, I thought I drowned. And I don't know how I made it up on the embankment. The next thing I remember is I'm on the embankment. And when the trooper talked to the people at the scene, none of them said that they were the ones that pulled these kids out of the water. And nobody had seen anybody pulling these kids out of the water. They just came upon the scene with the kids like that. And it was a steep, rocky embankment that would have been really hard for one person, let alone several people, to pull these people out of their upside-down car, submerged. So that gives me chills to this day. That's my guardian angel story. But love your podcast.
Thank you, Peggy. What a tale. Now, I hear your suggestion that it might have been a guardian angel. And sure, that makes a lot of sense. But let me toss out one other, not so obvious, suspect. Something a little more earthbound. Now, Peggy mentioned that it would have taken great strength for the teens to have been pulled from the water and up the rocky embankment. So what if it was someone or something known for its size and power? A creature that said to roam that part of Utah. For more than 20 years now, the Provo area, and Provo Canyon specifically, has been rumored to harbor a monster. 8 feet tall, covered in hair, in human strength. Most know the creature as Bigfoot. Now, there are a number of videos that supposedly show that creature that have stemmed from that very area. There are links in the show notes, if you don't believe me. So is it possible that a passing squatch saw the kids in peril and stepped in to help. That might be a bit of a stretch, but so are guardian angels, if you don't believe in them. Either way, what an incredible story, Peggy. So thank you again for sharing. And speaking of monsters, the state of Utah is full of them. There's the Bear Lake Monster, an aquatic creature that lurks below the surface of that freshwater lake. Accounts from early settlers claim that the cream-colored sea serpent is anywhere between 50 and 90 feet in length, with a spindly body and a horse-like head. You also have the water babies of Utah Lake. Folklore from the Shoshone and Paiute nations tell of spirits that dwell in springs, lakes, and other bodies of water, described as having long, dark hair, fangs, fishtails, and scaly skin. The entities appear as crying infants and lured victims to the water's edge, only to pull them under. Or perhaps you've heard of Old Ephraim. Old Ephraim was a massive bear that roamed the northern mountains of Utah back in the early 20th century. Standing over 9 feet tall and weighing over 1,000 pounds, Old Ephraim terrorized local farmers and their flocks. Eventually, Ephraim was hunted down by a farmer, and now the bear's 18-inch skull is displayed at the Smithsonian Institute. Now, there's also the Wasatch Wild Man and the monster of the Uintahs, including the aforementioned Provo Canyon creature, a bipedal, Sasquatch-type cryptid that stands over 8 feet tall with long, dark fur and glowing eyes. Sightings of the creature date back decades and became more numerous during the 70s and 80s. Well, I know Utah is a big outdoor recreation state, so be careful out there if you find yourself in the wilds of Utah. And truth be told, from the sounds of some of these calls, I guess you should be careful indoors as well. The Beehive State seems to be quite paranormally active. Take Alexander's story here, for example.
Hey, Derek. My name is Alexander. I'm calling from Utah. I wanted to tell you some stories about the haunted house that I grew up in. So when I was like 8 or 9, the house was, there was the main floor, then there was a basement. So I was up on the main floor, and my brother and I were home alone. At the time, I was probably like 8 or 9, so he would have been like 12 or 13. We were just standing in the kitchen, we were talking, and we had a watering can sitting on the island next to us, right? So this is kind of late, it's probably like 10 or 10:30, and we're sitting there talking, and suddenly this watering can, like, it tips over onto its side, but then immediately it comes right back up and then tips over onto its other side. Then again, immediately comes right back up and then tips back over onto the other side again. It does this like 4 or 5 times, like it's going back and forth, almost like the hand on a pendulum. And it kind of surprised us. You know, we're looking at it. We're like, what on earth is this watering can doing? So, you know, my brother, being the budding scientist that he was, he would later go on to geology. But even at the time, he was already like viewing things through the scientific method. So he thought, well, let's try to replicate this. So we're sitting there, we're hitting the island, we're jumping up and down, we're slamming cabinets, you know, we're doing everything we can. And this watering can does not move a single inch. And the thing is, you could say maybe it's like an earthquake, right? But nothing else moved, just this watering can. So we thought that was pretty weird, and we decided to call it a night there. We went back downstairs where our bedrooms were. Now, the second story happened a couple years later. I was probably about 12 at this time. And my sister had a big toy plush horse. You know, like those big teddy bears that are like the size of a person, you know, that like little kids can sleep on as like a mini bed. It was kind of like that, except this was a horse. And she would sit on the back of it, pretend she was riding it, you know, like all the stuff that kids do. She was only like 5 or 6 at the time. So I went down the stairs, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw this plush toy horse. And I'm standing at the base of the stairs, and I look over at it, and for some reason, this horse terrifies me. I'm sitting there, and I'm staring at it, and I've never felt fear like that before, like never in my life. But at the same time, my brain is going, like, why are we scared? There's nothing here. This is just a toy. And I look at its head, and on its head, only one of the eyes was visible from where I was standing. It's like those black, like marble, kind of glassy eyes, right? So I'm looking at this eye, and then suddenly the horse's head moves just a tiny bit, but it moves so that I can see the other eye too. And it's like it's looking directly at me. And once again, scared me half to death. I went running back up the stairs the whole time. You know, that feeling where you feel like you're being chased up the stairs. I look back. I'm half expecting this toy plush to be, you know, crawling up the stairs after me. It didn't, of course. It wasn't there. So I stayed upstairs for an hour or two. And then I finally went back down. And the horse's head was back to where it was before, so you could only see the one eye. But the weird thing is, I didn't feel scared at all when I saw it. I looked at it and I said, oh, there's the toy. And it's like all the fear had just vanished. And so I just ignored it. I went about my day. Now, in that basement, there was a storage room. And it was shaped like a big L. So like there was a long hallway and then it would curve at the end. So there was another little section like the bottom of an L. And you couldn't see into that part of the room from the doorway. You had to go down to the very end so you could see everything there. And that room always terrified me a little bit because you can't see the whole room from the doorway. And so I always thought, oh, what if there's something hiding in there? The weird thing about it was that the door to that storage room would never stay shut. So I was working late. This was when I was much older, when I was like 19, 20, 21. At the time, I was a manager of a movie theater. And I would work closing shifts. And the thing is that when super long movies would come out, you would be out until, you know, 3 or 4, right? So I would be the only person awake in the house. My parents were working regular jobs. I was still living at home at the time. My brother was attending college and, you know, he wasn't taking night classes, so he was asleep. My sister was still in high school at the time, so she was still asleep. So I would be the only one awake at the house at like 2:30, 3, 3:30, 4. So I would come downstairs to the basement where my bedroom was, and that doorway would always be open, always. It was never shut. And I always hated seeing that doorway open, especially, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning and it's dark. So I would go and I would shut the door. And I noticed that after a while, what would happen was that I would sit in the living room with my back to that door because that's where my computer was at the time. And I'd just play around on my computer a little bit before going to bed. So I would sit with my back to the door, and then there would be times where I would turn around and the door would be open again, even though I distinctly remember shutting it. And every time that happened, it made me feel a little scared. But my logical part of the brain was going, oh, well, you just didn't click the door shut. Like, you didn't shut it all the way. And the natural airflow of the house just made it, like, open a little bit. So what I would do is I began shutting it, and then I would pull the door until I heard the latch click into place. And then I would push on the door to make sure that it didn't open again, right? To make sure that the latch was fully in place. It's the same thing that we would do when we were locking up the movie theater. But there were still once or twice, only one time I heard it, but there'd be once or twice where the door would open again. And that one time I was sitting there and I clicked it shut, you know, and I pressed it. I made sure the door was shut. And then I sat down at my computer with my back to that door. I was only like 5 or 10 feet away. And then I heard the knob turn and the door popped open. And so, of course, at that point, I'm thinking there's an intruder. So I pop open that door. You know, I turn on all the lights. I run in like I'm holding a knife. Nothing there. Room's empty. And after that, I never looked at that door as much as I could. I just avoided it. That basement, I was not the only person who felt this. My brother lived down there with me as well at the time. He and I both always felt like we were being watched. So when I would sleep, my bed was in the corner. I could not lay with my back to the door of that room because it felt like something would be sneaking up on me. So I could only lay so that I could see that door. I also felt like, you know, that moment where you're taking off a shirt, you pull it over your head and the cloth of the shirt kind of covers your face for a second. Almost every single time I changed, almost every day, I felt like there would be something standing there like watching me once the shirt was up over my head. And my brother felt very similarly, which I did not know until like 5 years after we moved out of that house and I spoke to him and I asked him if he ever felt that way. And he said, all the time, I always felt like something was watching me down there. And my parents moved to a new house. And at the time, since I was still living with them, I decided to move as well because I was still going to college. So we all moved to this new house. And at this new house, I didn't feel any of it. It was like, it was that house. Anyways, Derek, I want to thank you for the show. You and the whole team, you guys are great. Bye.
Thank you, Alexander. Now, our editor, Connor, has suggested that a mouse might have gotten trapped inside the water can. And as it ran from side to side in search of an exit, it caused the can to rock back and forth. Now, if that were the case, I imagine it would have to be a pretty big mouse. But what do you think here, folks? How do you explain the experiences Alexander and his siblings had? Well, I don't know if we'll ever get an answer, but I can say that we thank you, Alexander, for taking the time to call in. Now, gang, I have one more ad break to get through, but don't go anywhere. I have more creepy Utah stories right after this.
It is so baffling to me.
Time to unite and come together.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It has to go deeper. It absolutely must.
Now, these next two stories take place at a very similar facility. Please welcome Dave to the program.
Hi, Derek. This is Dave from Northern Utah. My father has worked at the same nursing home facility for my whole life, and so I've basically grown up there. When I was 5 years old, so this would have been the year 2000, it was winter, if I remember right, January. I was walking out with my dad, and it was dinner time, and so residents were in a main dining room area. And all of a sudden, all the nurses started to panic, and we looked over, and this resident fell over. And the nurses go over to help her out, and, you know, we just left. The next morning, my dad wakes me up, and he goes, "Hey, son, are you okay? I just want to make sure you're all right." I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine." He's like, "Well, do you remember that lady from last night?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, the one that was having struggles." He's like, "Well, yeah, she passed away, and I just want to make sure you're okay because it's the first person to see you back." And being that old, I wasn't really affected by it. I didn't think much of it. You know, I didn't comprehend life and death. Fast forward 14 years. I was 19 at the time. I was currently working in the kitchen, you know, doing random things. And so that particular evening, I was serving this main dining room. Now, everybody sits in the same spot. If a resident sits there, that's where they sit. Okay, the person that had passed away is a very clean eater, very particular lady, from what I've been told. The person that now sat in that spot was very much the same way. Very quiet man, just very clean eating. Well, one night he made just an absolute mess, just not who he was. And I was thinking this, and I was like, oh, this is really weird. So either way, I just went on with my day. I cleaned it up and kept going. Later, I'm sitting here wiping down carts, and there's double doors to go from the kitchen to the dining room. And it's my responsibility for this certain shift to shut the doors. And there's deadbolts at the top. So I shut the doors, and I look up to shut the deadbolt, and I look down, and boom, there's this lady in front of me, directly my height, my eye contact. It scared the crap out of me. You know, elderly woman, you know, graying hair, pale face, slender, and I'm just like, holy crap, okay. So I look up to unbolt the deadbolt, and I look down again, and she's gone. And so I'm freaking out, like, what in the crap, where's this resident gone? Because I think it's a resident. And I go through the doors, and I immediately round the hallway, because there's a long hallway to go back towards the resident's rooms. There's no way this person probably made the length of the hallway in time for me to miss her. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. You know, I just missed it. I'm like, I'm seeing things. So I shut the door again, and I go on my way. And now I'm wiping off carts, and it's about 10 minutes later. And somebody else pushes dishes past me, and as it pushes them past, they make noise, and I look up, and this lady is right there again. And so then I'm just yelling at him, and I said, Ryan, get your ass through that door right now and go stop that lady. Like, right now. Do not let her leave. And I busted out a side door that went directly into the hallway that led back to the resident's rooms. And this lady was nowhere. And I told Ryan what was going on, so we walked to the back of the dining room, which is not a very big one, but there is a wall that wraps around that goes to another part of it. And she wasn't there. And he was like, dude, I just don't feel good. Both of us were, the hair standing on the back of our necks. And we were just like, yeah, let's just go. So I went home and I told my dad about it. And he was like, huh, let me do some checking. And so I go into work the next day, and my boss, my dad, and the director of nursing, who's been there just as long as my dad has, are both sitting there when I walk in. And they had a bunch of files, and they were like, okay, we heard your story. Do you see the person you saw last night in one of these files? And I immediately saw her, and I pointed at it. And they all kind of gasped, and my dad just goes, do you remember the person that passed away, you know, when you were a kid? And I was like, yeah, I do. And my dad was like, well, the day that I'd seen this was the anniversary of this lady's death. And the look on her face, I don't know. My original feeling was fear. But now looking back on it, like I said, I was very disturbed that this man had left a mess. And obviously now looking back, I'm like, holy crap, this lady was, you know, causing him to be upset. And so I don't really know, you know, why she's upset. She passed away from choking, so maybe she was upset that the nurses would have passed away. And just the fact that maybe I was there, and then I was there on the anniversary, and that I had served the dinner to this gentleman that made the mess, maybe it was all enough connection to let her control him and affect his emotions. It was really weird. While I'm here, I figured I'd share another story with you about this same nursing home, as I'd mentioned. My father's lived there my whole life. And the man that he took over from apparently had sounded a lot like he did. I was 15 at the time of this story. There is one elevator in this building, and it's a service elevator. The shaft is very loud and echoless. Me and my friend were there helping my dad, and we shut the elevator doors, and he told us he would meet us up top. And right as the elevator door shut, we had watched my dad go out the side door and go up some stairs. So he was out of the building at this time. And right as we shut the door, we heard what me and my friend were for sure certain my dad. And he just said, oh, so at this point, this is very typical of my dad when he was angry. So me and my friend are sitting here going, oh, hey, we're going to get in for it. So we get to the top and we said, we heard you swearing. And you know, we figured we did something wrong or something else came up. What's going on? And he said, no, I thought for certain that was you guys. And so then we all looked at each other, and then that's when he told us, he's like, well, I've been told I sound like the man that I took over for. And at this point, that man had passed on. So
that's my story for tonight. I really love the podcast. Bye.
Thank you, Dave. Now, I know they're not supposed to be, but nursing homes can be creepy AF. And based on what we're about to hear with this next entry, the same vibe can be extended to other similar facilities. Please welcome Rockwell to the airwaves.
Hi, Derek. This is Rockwell in Utah. I used to work as a caregiver for people with mental and physical disabilities in group homes. So, you know, like it'd be four or five individuals who would live in a home, and we'd go in and spend our shift there taking care of, like, cooking, cleaning, playing games with them, just, you know, helping them have a life. So I got hired on and started working in a group home for women. And there was two stories to the house. And I always, always felt uncomfortable in the basement. And I didn't say anything because I was a new guy. I didn't want to, like, stir things up. But with my ability, senses, like, I knew something was off. We had this one resident who was nonverbal and she was mobile and she lived downstairs. She would just wander the house. So one day I was going down the stairs to do laundry and all the lights were off downstairs, which was odd because most of the residents don't like the dark. Anyway, I go down the stairs and I come into the living area downstairs. And there is a dark humanoid shape just standing in the middle of the room. So I'm trying to find the light switch. I call her name and she doesn't respond. Still trying to find the light. So I say her name again and she doesn't respond. And finally find the light switch and I flick it on and that shape is just gone. There was no way that somebody could move from the middle of the room because I was blocking the doorway up the stairs. And the only way out of that room was down the hallway to the other bedrooms. The figure was just gone. Talking to other staff after that, I mentioned it and other staff started telling me some of their stories. But I just wanted to tell you that one because it was on my mind today. Thank you. And I hope you keep it going. Bye.
We appreciate the entry, Rockwell, and we certainly do intend to keep it going. Now, maybe like nursing homes, these group homes have the same paranormal connection. Maybe it's all those people in close proximity. Maybe it's the pain, the suffering. Or maybe there's more to it. Either way, it sounds like a creepy place at times, Rockwell. And that's exactly what we're looking for here on the program. So thank you again for taking the time to call. And folks, that brings us to the last story of the evening. And the topic of this one is sure to excite a good number of you, as we're about to visit a few synchronized friends we haven't heard from in a while. Anonymous from Utah, welcome to the show.
Hey, Derek. So I'm going to keep this anonymous. I'm a truck driver. Back in April this year, 2025, I just delivered a load to a certain rocket fuel company in northern Utah. And I'd ran out of hours on my logs. So I found a place to park just outside in a large lot near some of the offices just outside the fences area. I want to say it was probably around 5:30 at night, and I decided to take my pup out for a walk since he'd been cooped up in the truck for the day. We hadn't gone too far when my dog just kind of froze up on me. I looked around to see what was wrong, and my eyes went to two women that were walking towards some of the buildings inside the fence line. Although there was nothing really eye-catching about them, they were identically boring, I'd say. The same height, same weight, wearing the same bland gray pantsuit, and they even had the same relatively short hair. What kept my attention, though, was the fact that their movements were all synchronized to the point I almost felt hypnotized by them. I don't know how long I was staring. It felt like it's probably hours, but more than likely it was just seconds. But what broke my trance was they must have felt me watching. It was in a perfect unison. They turned their heads, looked straight at me, and, well, now this is where things get a little lost for me, because I don't know if my memory's playing tricks on me, but I'd swear their faces seemed to be almost shifting or going in and out of focus, really. But that's the last thing I really remember, because next thing I know, my dog's licking my face, and I woke up in the sleeper of my truck. Oddly enough, I was in my bed. The truck was all locked up, turned off. My phone was even next to me on the charger. I checked the time, and it was about 11:30 at night. Well, I've gone back and forth in my head trying to remember what I missed, or if somehow maybe it was all a dream. I just fell asleep really early or something in my truck, and I don't know. But things took another strange turn the next day. I was up on another load and up in northern Idaho, and it was maybe about 24 hours or so later, and after I'd left that place. And I'd gotten the news, or noticed on the news, that one of the buildings at that location where I'd seen those women walking towards had blown up. I don't know if it's related, although, you know, I don't really like coincidence. And it might be simply that, but, you know, I just don't know. I was able to call a guy I knew at the facility, and unfortunately he couldn't tell me anything really specific. Only that there wasn't anything too suspicious about the explosion, that it was probably just an accident. That's my story. Take it for what it's worth. You know, it has some similarities to stories I heard on your show, but, you know, with some very obvious twists. Maybe someone else has had similar experiences and just haven't made the connection yet. Maybe there isn't any correlation and it was just, you know, a strange happenstance. Anyways, I hope this story helps and you can use it for your podcast. Love your show. Love listening. I appreciate everything you do, Derek. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Well, that's unsettling. Could this have been the infamous mirrored man? Well, mirrored women in this case. Let's run down the checklist and find out, shall we? Inclement weather. Well, there was no mention of that by our caller, so I'll say no to that one. A rural location. Well, sort of. It didn't sound like it was a bustling part of town or anything. What about missing time? Sure, it sure seems like our caller lost some time when he went unconscious. But what about the description of the entities? First off, there's the identical appearance. Check. Moving in unison. Check. Three men. Well, that's where we run into an issue. This might not be the first time we've heard of two of these strangers, rather than three. But I believe it is the first time that they turned out to be women. What a twist. Now, I'm not sure if I can stamp this one as an official mirrored man experience or not, but I don't think I would mind at all if our caller labeled it as such. It certainly checks off a lot of the most important boxes. Creepy as hell, whatever it was, caller. And we can't thank you enough for taking the time to share it here with us. So thank you again for calling in. And folks, that's going to do it for this one. Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Now be sure to like us on our social media accounts. Give us a like and follow on YouTube. We sure could use the help over there. Join us over on Discord and leave us a rate and review wherever you can do such a thing. Now don't forget you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the UnX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. Now tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, co.he music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now be sure to watch our movie, Shadows in the Desert. Go to BorregoTriangle.com to find out how. Or just visit Tubi or Amazon Prime to watch for free. And tune in to Monsters Among Us Jr. New episodes drop every other Wednesday. A new one will be released tomorrow, in fact. And finally, remember you can get days worth of bonus content over at The Beyond. Just visit MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the Shop tab. That'll get you all the info that you need. All right, gang. I'll catch you back here on Thursday with a brand new installment. Until then, keep it spooky as possible, and have yourselves a good night.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.